We turn now to God's Word and we turn again to the book of Jonah. This time we turn to Jonah chapter 2. In fact, we'll begin at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. If you have a pew Bible open, that's on page 927 and leading into 928. The main part of the text is entitled Jonah's Prayer. So let's turn to God's Word and beginning at Jonah 1 verse 17. And ending at the end of chapter 2, let's read. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I have called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep and into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I look again to you, towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Amen. This is the word of God. We turn again this morning to continue this series on Jonah that I began last week. A series that I've entitled Jonah, More Than Just a Story About a Big Fish. And indeed, in chapter 2, we again see Jonah, this time in the belly of a fish, seeking God. We see Jonah turning from what we said last week was a disobedient prophet into what I'm entitling this morning's service, a sermon, as the repentant prophet. We see Jonah going from a place of saying to sailors, "I am running from God," without any care or consideration, to now being in a place cast into the deep, crying out to God. So as we look at this part of Jonah, I pray that we will learn lessons, each one of us, about what it means to cry out to God, what it means to repent, what it means to look to God from the depths. So let's turn to Jonah 1:17 to 2:10. The first thing we see in this story is God graciously bringing Jonah to the depths. We read at the end of chapter 1, verse 17, a seemingly throwaway line, where it says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." If you were here last week, you'll know that I mentioned that this was a providence or a provision of God. And you're maybe thinking to yourself, how on earth is being swallowed by a fish a provision from God? But it is. It is a gracious provision. We saw last week how Jonah, who had blatantly, over and over again, chance after chance on the boat he had to turn around and say, "Lord, I am wrong." And yet, chance after chance, the sailors showed more faith than he did. Time after time, the sailors actually had to prompt Jonah to, in any form or fashion, talk about God. And so, God was within his rights the moment the sailors threw him into the water to say to Jonah, "Enough is enough. You've disobeyed me. You don't take care. You've caused this problem for other people. Storm will end, but you will end." Yet that's not what we see. What we see is quite a big surprise to all of us. That when Jonah is thrown overboard, God, as we're told in 17, doesn't let this disobedient prophet meet his deserving end, but instead provides Jonah with the belly of a fish, where he can reflect, he can think, he can wise up. And when you take into account how miraculous this has to be, maybe we have heard this story so many times before that we sort of write it off. It's pretty miraculous when you consider not only did the storm stop the instant he hits the water, but more than that, Jonah gets swallowed by a sufficiently large enough fish that he swallowed whole. This is not half of Jonah sitting inside a fish. This is not bits of Jonah in a fish. Jonah is swallowed whole. In fact, it's such a big fish that it swallows Jonah and doesn't digest him. If that's not miraculous enough, I don't know what is for you this morning. The fact that the precise big enough fish that will swallow Jonah, will not digest him, and eventually will spit him out, comes along just at the right time to pick him out of stormy waters, says to me, God's hand is all over this. But maybe you're sitting there saying, well, okay, Jonathan, I get it's a provision from God, but being inside a fish doesn't sound too nice to me. You're actually right. This is never in this passage, never in this text, do we hear Jonah talking about how he's enjoying sitting in his underwater hotel, enjoying reclining back, sipping on something nice. No. This was never meant to be a comfortable experience for Jonah. Jonah is brought to the depths inside the belly of a fish, which is going to be pretty rotten. I don't know if any of you have gone fishing before. I have. If you've ever looked at the inside of any fish, it's pretty rotten. So being inside, whether a fish or a whale or whatever it was, is not going to be a pleasant experience. In fact, listen to how Jonah describes his situation in verses 5 and 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He's talking about basically an underwater prison. He doesn't feel like he's sitting on top of the world, living life in luxury. Jonah is being brought low, not just literally inside a fish, but also emotionally, practically. Jonah, the man who received the word from God and was so bold to tell fishermen, I'm ignoring God, I'm running away from him, is now at the point where he's brought so low that he has to see God. And he has to see that it was God that brought him there. God provided for him, yes, but God has brought him low. And truth be told, folks, isn't that so often what each of us need? Look, you can live your life, especially in the rich Western world that we live in. We can spend years in this world without a trouble. Other people's taxes help us to have medical care for free. We are never, never really brought to the depths of poverty and struggle that half the world, if not more, truly experience. And for a lifetime, many of us can live without ever truly saying, I fought for my food. Without ever truly saying, I had to fight to survive. Without ever truly saying, I have been brought low. Yet, God, through circumstances, through troubles, through situations, often brings us low to show us himself. He often does that. And when we disobey God's call, when we ignore his call to him, his challenge for us to change parts of our life, often there are consequences for that. And indeed, it's often in those dark depths of struggle that we wake up, that we take stock. I'll be honest. This week, I feel like I've done the movie in reverse. 4 weddings and a funeral. I've nearly done 4 funerals and a wedding this week. And you know what? Sad but true. Weddings are wonderful times. People love them. But I tell you something. We're so happy and so giddy that we don't pay attention very much. I can guarantee you, if you've had a wedding yourself or been at a wedding yourself, you probably can't remember what the minister said. But at a funeral, when people see death and grief and struggle, I tell you something, they remember almost every word. Why is that? Because in our depths, in our struggle, in our worry, our concern, we often take stock and we actually, maybe, just maybe, pay a little bit more attention to what God has to say to us. Would that be fair? God brings Jonah to the depths so as he'll listen, so as he'll change, so as he'll take heed. And I wonder, just wonder, is that you here today? Are you sitting in your belly of a fish, realizing how far you've fallen from God? Maybe you haven't seen your need of God yet. And what you really need is a wake-up call. You need God to wake you up from that comfortable, happy, go-lucky life. And maybe your struggles, maybe your challenges are God's way of waking you up. And I want to tell you something. That's a gift from God. You might not believe it. You might not see it right now. But to actually get the wake-up call, to actually have God speaking to you rather than casting you asunder, to actually have the opportunity to think and reflect, to have come here on this day, at this time, in the midst of your struggle, is a gift. Not because my speech is so great, but because God is still speaking to you. Because God doesn't have to. To be given the opportunity to take stock of your life is something that is not granted to everyone, and not granted forever. Not forever. And what we'll see is Jonah takes the opportunity. In the belly of the fish, he wakens up to the reality of where he is with God. And he repents. But not everybody does. Not everybody does. And so I want to be clear today. If God has been challenging you or knocking at the door of your heart or speaking to you, whether it's been through this sermon, last week's sermon, any sermon, through your Bible reading, through life experience, if God is trying to speak to you, do not ignore him. Do not. Do not. Because you don't know how many more times God will bring you low before he'll say, enough is enough. Because it's often in the place of brokenness and struggle, in the place where we can't look to ourselves to fix our problem, that we realize how far we've wandered from God and we realize our need of God. And if that's you here today, I want you to look at Jonah and learn a lesson. Examine yourself and see that just as Jonah in the belly of the fish turned back to God, maybe you have to too. Maybe for the first time. So God is gracious in bringing Jonah to the depths. But secondly, we see that God's bruising of Jonah causes repentance. The main body of the chapter is a prayer by Jonah. From verses 1 to 9, we read Jonah's prayer. And if you read through it, even not right now, but when you go home today, read through it. Listen to the tone of brokenness. He realizes where he is and why he's there. He realizes who has brought him here. Look at verse 3. For you have cast me into the deep. He acknowledges that it's God who is the one in control by stating in verse 2, I called out to the Lord and he answered me. And in verse 6, he cries, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. No longer do we have this boastful, disobedient prophet who's saying, look, I'm running from God. He's now saying, God's the one in control, not me. God's the one who's sent the fish and saved me, who's brought me to the depths, who's brought me to see who I really am. He now realizes that it's God who rules and reigns and not Jonah. Maybe again he realizes that. He had thought he could run from God, hide from God, and change God's mind. But here, in the belly of the fish, Jonah realizes that it's he who is wrong, and God is the source of steadfast love. As Crooks puts it, being swallowed by the fish is the shock that Jonah needed. It's in the dark belly he prayed as he never prayed before. Didn't pray on the boat when the storm was supposed to wake him up. Didn't pray even when the sailors asked him to. didn't pray once, yet in the belly of the fish, in the midst of the turmoil and the depth and the struggle, he falls to his knees and prays, Lord, I'm not in control of this. I'm in the depths and it's you who's brought me there. Lord, I cannot do anything about this. And may I just highlight something? We know the story so well. We're even told in verse 17 that he'll come up out of the belly of the fish in 3 days. Yet, did Jonah? Jonah prays the prayer in the belly of the fish, not knowing that he's going to be brought up out of the fish. He prays knowing he's facing potentially the digestive tract of a massive fish. And so God bruises him. Maybe you're wondering why I use that term, bruising. I mean, Jonah was upset, but we don't hear that he's beaten or bruised. I don't mean it physically. And in fact, they say confession's good for the soul. I'm stealing the term. I'm stealing the term from a man called Richard Sibbes, where he wrote a book on Isaiah 42. And in this, he says this. The bruised reed is a man or woman that for the most part is in some misery. And by misery, he is brought to see sin as the cause of it. He is sensible of sin and misery, and seeing no help in himself, is carried with restless desire to have supply from another. To make it clear, Sibbes is talking about someone being broken enough. Not being totally broken, but broken, bruised enough to actually see God. And if Jonah's not that, I don't know who he is. What we see is Jonah being bruised, like a bruised reed being bent so much that he actually wakens up. He actually stops living that blinkered life of just getting on and getting by. He now turns and says, Lord, I need you. And I think Sibbes beautifully describes what Jonah's like. The bruised reed of a prophet is in the belly of the fish and sees no help in himself and turns with restless desire to have help from God, and this is his prayer. The tone of a restless, broken, turning to God flows from every verse of this prayer, doesn't it? You see and sense from all the words that he says, this is no longer a man who thinks he can fix himself. This is no longer a man who thinks he can run from God. This is no longer a man who thinks he's in charge. And maybe, just maybe today, you're a bruised reed. Maybe you need a bit more bruising before you realize you cannot fix yourself. You cannot solve all of life's problems. You cannot be the master and commander of your destiny. There's someone else in charge of each of our lives, and that's not us, it's God. The words of this prayer are not the words of a man just feeling bad or saying sorry and then getting on and doing the same old thing. He is really turning from his attitude of self-centered defiance, from going his own way, as I explained to the boys and girls, to turning back to God. Yes, if you know the story, he will still need more teaching. Yes, he might need more bruising, but he needs and does turn from his own attitude of I can run from God to a new attitude of I need God. God's bruising of Jonah has brought about repentance. And folks, maybe that's you here today. You've been brought to the depths through whatever. Maybe it's ill health. Maybe it's financial worries. Maybe it's broken relationships, broken marriage. I don't know. Maybe God is bringing you to the depths so as you will see that you cannot fix it. That you are not the master and commander of your life. That you need him. It's not just he's a nice add-on to your life. Oh yes, I go to church. Yes, I like God. He's quite nice. Yes, Jesus is a good guy. It's that you need him. Not just want a little bit on occasions, but need him. And God is bringing you to that point. Learn from Jonah. Learn from what I told the boys and girls. Don't just get to that point and say, sorry, God, I know I should change, and then continue on in your own way. Sorry, God, I know I should change, and continue on in your own way. Repent. Turn to God. Seek Him. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from doing things your own way, and turn to God and God's way. But maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, Jonathan, I know that. I did that 30 years ago. I did that 15 years ago. I did it at CU camp. I did it in school. I did it here, there, whenever. I want you to know something. That may be true. But look at who Jonah is. Jonah is not a man. He's not the heathen sailor who never believed in God. Jonah is a prophet who was called by God before and used by God before. He is a man of faith. And yet he defied God. Brought to the belly of the fish, he repents. Why? This is not a man with no faith. So if you're sitting here today as a Christian, I want you to be clear on something. You can be a Christian and still be running from God's call in your life. You can be a Christian and still be ignoring what God has been saying to you, what he's been telling you to cut out of your life. Those sins that entangle and hold you back in your walk with God, those things that are stopping you from loving him. Repentance is not a one-time thing. Yes, the first act is to turn away. There's times when you go from walking in God's way to walking slightly awry, to walking away, taking your eyes off him and walking somewhere else. Still walking in your own way. God, maybe, just maybe, brother and sister in Christ, is trying to reach you and bruise you enough to show you that you still need to repent too. As Grudem explained, the heart attitudes of repentance and faith only begin at conversion. These same attitudes should continue through the course of our Christian lives. Christianity is not about saying, look at me, I'm saved and you're not. Look at me, how perfect I am. Look at me, how blessed I am. Christianity is about realizing each and every day how much you need God. And so will involve times of falling on your knees, falling on your face, coming to God and repenting again and again and again. Because believe you me, every Christian still falls and still sins. Every Christian still needs to be changed by God. That's called sanctification, if you want the fancy theological term. It's a process that begins at conversion and ends at death. It's a process whereby we take off the old self and put on the new. And you can only do that in God's strength, through God. And so it needs, brother and sister in Christ, for us to often be found in the place of prayer and repentance. It's not a one-time thing. Often be found running back to God, asking for him to bring us low so as we don't think we are our savior, but he is. So as we stop relying on ourselves, so as we turn back and turn back and turn back and turn back to God's way. And maybe you're here today and you need to hear that. Maybe, brother and sister in Christ, God is bruising you again to teach you that once more. But what's the final thing we see in this chapter? We see God restoring Jonah. We read Jonah's great declaration in verse 9, salvation belongs to the Lord. And with that, we read in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. With Jonah's true heartfelt repentance, we find salvation coming from God as Jonah is vomited back onto the dry land. God's grace is complete as he shows his true, unmerited favor upon Jonah. As Jonah turns back to God, God forgives and God restores. So we see an amazing turnaround. An amazing turnaround from Jonah. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, I get it. Today is about being more like Jonah. Yeah. Let's be Jonah's. Pray a prayer like his. You know, if it's gone wrong, I'll just copy and paste Jonah's prayer. That'll fix my problem. It's not what this is about this morning. Like I showed you last week, There's someone greater that this story points to. Chapter 2 shows us in a beautiful image, a picture of a great salvation, but points us to someone greater, the greater Jonah. Because just as Jonah lay in the belly of a fish for 3 days to repent for his sin, there is a greater Jonah who went to the depths, way beyond the deepest sea, but to the depths of hell itself, to pay the price, to be bruised and broken, not for his sin, but for ours. The greater Jonah was also raised and restored on the third day to break the bonds of sin so that when we repent of it, it actually happens. Not because of our own ability, not because we did it in our own strength, but because he has broken the bonds of sin. Because he has broken the ability of our sin to drag us back to our own way again. The greater Jonah, unlike Jonah in this chapter, didn't pray for forgiveness of his sin, but this is what he prayed for others. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because folks, the greater Jonah that this chapter points us to is Jesus Christ, as I said last week. Jesus himself states in Matthew 12:40, for just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus, the greater Jonah, is the one we need to fix our eyes on this morning. Who am I pointing you to today? What can I give you hope of today? That us disobedient people need. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. But by ourselves, we always fall back into our own way. But with Jesus, when we turn to him in our depths, in our brokenness, in our bruising, when we turn our eyes from ourselves and onto Christ, and we turn to him in true repentance asking, forgive me, Christ. Take me. Change me. Help me walk in your way and not my way. When we do that, we are truly forgiven. When we do that, we begin to walk again in the way of the Lord. I'll let Sibs explain further when he talks about the bruised reeds. He says this, bruising makes us set a high price upon Jesus Christ. Then the gospel becomes the gospel indeed. Then the fig leaves of our own morality will do us no good at all. And it makes us more thankful. And from thankfulness, more fruitful in our lives. For what makes any so cold and barren but that bruising for sin never endeared God's grace to them? Folks, I want to be clear tonight. Not tonight, this morning. I know I've gone on for a while, but I'm not that bad. I want to be clear this morning. You may feel bad and bruised and beaten. You may feel like you're struggling. You may even be angry at God for bringing you to that point. But I want to be clear. If you're brought to that point and you never look to God, what a pitiable place you're in. What a barren, what a cold, what a sad place to be in. If you never see in the midst of your depths your need of Christ. And I want to be clear, that is all I can offer to you. It's the only place I can point you to. And it's better than telling you to be like Jonah. Turn your eyes to Christ. Fix your eyes on him. And come to the greater Jonah. Because why? Listen to what Jonah said himself. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Learn from Jonah's belly of the fish experience. And if you're there, turn to Christ. Let's pray.